Welcome to The Daily Dose, where we are currently walking through an overview of the entire Bible. Join us today as we learn the story of Scripture and see God's redemptive plan through Christ from cover to cover. Let's listen to Matt Reister, Director of Christian Crusaders and the Cedar Falls Bible Conference.
Today we're going to be in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. This is where Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene after rising from the dead. This comes right after our previous text, where John and Peter and Mary are at the tomb. John sees the empty tomb and he believes, although he doesn't understand the significance of what he believes. Before we pick it up with Mary Magdalene, I want to say thank you to the Family Leader for being our Daily Dose Devotion sponsor. You can learn more about the Family Leader at the end of this devotion. And as always, thank you to the Family Leader for their support. Verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So from what all indications suggested just a moment ago in verse 8, something significant has changed. In verse 8, John, along with Peter, were inside the tomb. There's no mention of any angels. But now Mary Magdalene stoops to look inside the tomb, and she sees two angels in white, sitting where Jesus' body had lain. And I've mentioned this several times throughout our Daily Dose devotions, but if stuff like this makes you go, "Man, I don't know if I can believe that the Bible is true, this is just too supernatural," then I would just suggest that you need to stop and actually evaluate your doubt. I've had doubt like that before, but it doesn't really hold up. Because at the end of the day, I do believe that supernatural things happen. And anybody who believes in God, generally, even if they don't believe in Jesus, even if they don't believe in the God of the Bible, and the majority of people in the world do believe in God, all these people believe in supernatural things. So if supernatural is on the table, then angels can appear in the tomb between when Peter and John left the tomb and when Mary stooped to look in. Or maybe they were there the whole time and Peter and John were kept from seeing them. Or maybe only Mary could see them. I don't know. But I do believe there were two angels there, just like this text says. And honestly, if that detail trips you up, I don't know how you believe that a dead man came back to life. That's beyond our comprehension too. There's no science that can back that up. And the reason I'm saying all this isn't to poke holes in people's faith. It's just to say that if we're going to be people of faith, we need to own what we actually believe. If we believe that the Bible is actually true, that these things really happen, then we need to make sure we've actually thought about this and that we're willing to take a stand on these accounts. I am. And I hope you are as well. Let's continue. Verse 14. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Okay, so this is another really peculiar interaction. Why did Mary Magdalene, who had spent so much time with Jesus, not recognize Jesus? This was a big stumbling block for me at one time. And actually, scholars are kind of all over the place on this, but every one of their explanations to me is a plausible reason for this. Some simply suggest that just like the previous text said, this is so early in the morning that it's still dark out, or at least it's at the time when dawn is kind of breaking. You can imagine Mary Magdalene overcome with grief. She sees these two angels dressed in white, which, by the way, didn't necessarily have to look supernatural. They could have just looked like two dudes sitting in a tomb in white. And maybe Mary was able to rationalize that as just being two dudes and not two angels. So she's processing this. His body's not there. She sees somebody standing in the garden. If it's dark out, maybe it's kind of a dark figure. And it's not like she's scoping him out. She just kind of sees him and is talking and maybe not even looking at him. Some people have said that because Mary was weeping, like the text says, it's just that her eyes aren't clear. She's not seeing clearly through her tear-filled eyes. Others have suggested that Jesus' physical body looked different than it did the last time Mary saw it. Last time Mary saw it, of course, was hanging on the cross after he'd been beaten, after he'd been crucified, blood-stained. Some have suggested that Jesus' resurrection body looked even different than his pre-crucifixion body, maybe a more youthful Jesus who looked like the Jesus before Mary met him. Others, on the other end of the spectrum, have suggested that because his body was so beaten and brutalized, it was beyond recognition. After all, later on, Jesus is going to have the disciple Thomas put his hand in his side and touch the holes in his hands, so there is some remaining evidence of what happened to him. At any rate, Mary does not recognize him visually, but when he says her name, Mary, she recognizes him immediately. Let's continue in verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So again, in verse 17, there's a lot of speculation about why Jesus told Mary not to cling to her. Some people have suggested that because he hadn't yet ascended to his Father, that something about his body was not like it would be after he ascended to his Father, and because of that, Mary, don't cling to me. I'm not sure that's correct. Others have suggested that actually when you read the Greek language here, the notion of what Jesus is saying is not, do not cling to me, but rather what he's saying is, do not keep clinging to me, Mary, because I haven't ascended to the Father yet. I'm not gone yet. We're still going to have a little bit of time together, so stop clinging to me and instead go tell my brothers. To me, that makes a lot of sense. There's one other aspect of Mary's role in this that is important for us to highlight, and that is that if this was a trumped up, faked story after the fact, there's no way that the creators of this story would have had Jesus first appear to a woman. The first witness of Jesus' bodily resurrection, a woman, in that day, no one took women seriously. So the only explanation for why it's written that way is because it actually happened that way. Jesus is also very specific with his words where he says, "I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." One of the commentators I read suggests that Jesus could have said, "I'm ascending to our Father and our God." But when he separates it out like this, it highlights the notion that yes, the God of Jesus and the God of us, the Father of Jesus and the Father of us is the same. But he is God and Father to Jesus in a way that is different to how he is God and Father to us. I don't know if we're reading too far into the details of this text, but the text is what it is, and it's interesting to contemplate these ideas. At the end of the day, as we said in our previous devotion, Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead is the ballgame. If it didn't happen, nothing else really matters. We might as well close the doors of our churches, eat, drink, and be merry, mow our grass and golf on Sunday morning. But if it did happen, and I have faith in the evidence that it did more than I have faith in what people say is evidence that it didn't, then it should radically transform our lives. We should build our entire existence around the truth of the resurrection of Jesus and its implications, which is what we're trying to help people do here at the Daily Dose. I hope you'll come back again next time. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
This is The Daily Dose, a podcast of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Please subscribe on Apple, Google, or Spotify podcasts, or download the free Christian Crusaders app and share with a friend. Also, prayerfully consider supporting our ministry at ChristianCrusaders.org, where you can find our weekly 30-minute radio broadcast airing on stations around the world since 1936, and where you can listen to our Conversations podcast featuring inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Special thanks to our Daily Dose sponsor, The Family Leader. God designed three social institutions, the family, the church, and government. At The Family Leader, they are bringing all three together, honoring God and blessing our neighbors. Learn how and join them at thefamilyleader.com. We also want to highlight another special ministry partner, the Cedar Falls Bible Conference. Check out conference videos and schedule of events online at cedarfallsbibleconference.com. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.